Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. Here's how losing almost $10,000 in my painting business has helped me understand relationships better. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Dad Talks. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik, and I'm so excited, as always, for you to be joining this episode. I'm also excited if this is your first time joining us. Just quickly introduce myself. As I said, my name is JT. I am a single dad of three, and because I'm a single dad who's processing through divorce, I just wanted to help other dads. I wanted to share my story, have other dads share their stories in hopes to encourage and inspire dads to be better every day. That's it. That's the whole goal of Dad Talks. And so today I just want to share my insight into relationships from the perspective of owning my own business, right? And so something happened within my business that just made me go, oh my goodness, this is just like a dating relationship. And I realized I'm not ready to date because I don't want to deal with this, these kind of issues. But This is for anybody. This is for someone who's single, who's dating, who's married, whatever it might be. I think you can get a lot out of this episode because it's not just specific to those who are dating. So as I said in the intro, I learned valuable insight about relationships from the fact that I've lost about $10,000 now in profit or income from my painting business. Now that's over 2 years. And so again, if you're new or you just don't know me, about 2 years ago, I started my own painting business after losing my job or let go, however you want to use the language from the church I used to work at. And so started painting. Okay. Now, obviously I've painted before, not obviously, I've painted before. That's what I did in college, but I've never had my own business. So I'm learning all of this stuff. And so there's three incidents. There's four. One, I didn't lose any money, thankfully, but still had some issues with that I want to share with you. There's three clients that I had to deal with. And as I think about it, it's really the same problem. There's one element that stuck to it that is really, I think, the key to relationships. And so I want to share that with you. And then just some other nuggets that I've learned from dealing with difficult clients that'll help in relationships, right? Because this all came to my head as this previous client was a gal. And as I'm dealing with just her craziness that I had to deal with, someone's like, oh, are you dating? You know, what do you? I'm like, no, I'm not dating. I don't want to date when I have to deal with clients like this. Like, this is exhausting enough. I don't have the time to date or the energy to date because why would I have want to deal with someone else who's, you know, has issues or problems when this is what I do every day? And I know that's a terrible thing. But here it is. Let me share the three stories. And for those, if you're going to play along at home, see if you can figure out what is the common denominator or factor that is happening in all three of these stories. Okay, so here's the first one. So I'd say it's about 4 to 6 months that I've been painting. And the job we're on, the project we're doing, is the first exterior that we're doing. And I mean, huge exterior. It's a two-story, 100-year-old home, right? So cedar lap siding. So I met with the client. It's an older couple. And I said, look, the siding is never going to be smooth. You can't get the smooth siding look without sanding into a lot, you know, a lot of work to it. So like, we'll take off the majority of the loose stuff. There'll still be stuff sticking off. But anything that's loose, we'll take off. So we start, we prime, we scrape, we do all that. We even paint one side and the customer comes out and said, like, this is bad. We don't like this. You're not doing a great job. It's like, wait a minute, what? And they're just fixated on the fact, like, there's tiny little spots that we hadn't, you know, scraped. And like, see, I can take my putty knife, jam it into the siding, pull off paint. I'm like, well, anybody can do that. So anyways, that comes up. We think we solve it. We even do some repair work for them and get done. Say, hey, you know, here's what we'd like to get paid. Doesn't pay us. Doesn't want to pay us. Doesn't want to give us anything at all because he says, you did not scrape all of the loose paint off. It looks terrible. It's awful. We're not going to pay you for this crappy job. Mind you, it is severely underbid what I would bid now and what anybody, like, no one would do a house for this price. So we did, like, it was ridiculously cheap. And decides, no, we're not going to pay you. Thankfully, the wife's like, hey, well, you know, we can cover your material or something. So I get a little bit out of it, but I still lost a good $4,000 on it. Right. So that's the first one. They're upset at the end that everything wasn't scraped off. Next house is a younger couple that was moving from the south up to here. So they weren't there. They said, we're moving to this house. Can you paint walls, ceilings, all the woodwork? So baseboard, trim, doors, bookshelves, stair railing. I mean, everything. Yep, we can do that. So we paint, we get after, we get going. We send some pictures. Oh, it looks great. It's awesome. They show up. Come to find out, like, oh, it's the wrong shade of paint. I'm like, well, it's not, like, that's not my issue. Like, well, yeah, it is because you use the wrong paint brand. I'm like, well, no, they should match up like they do. Nope, you're just saying that it's just, right? So arguing back and forth. I'm like, okay, fine. What do you want? Like, well, either repaint or we want a discount. Okay, you know, whatever, right? So they didn't like the way the color turned out, so they wanted a discount. So to get paid, said, sure, we can, you know, discount. That is part of what I have written in. If you're not fully guaranteed, we'll pay for paint. They're like, well, that's not what we want. That's not good enough. Okay, if you're not going to give us, we're not going to pay. All right, awesome. I love this side of it. So that first happens. Then this is all on me. This is nothing on expectation. We unplugged the washing machine. I forgot to put the drain plug back in the drain hole. He ran a load, whew, flooded everything. That's all on me. So we had insurance, had to fix that. So they said, we're not going to pay the rest until insurance is done. Okay. Client emails me a couple months later, says, we're not going to pay you again because the trim doesn't look great. And mind you, this is 5 months ago. 5 months ago. And I'm going, wait, what? Like, what? You're not going to pay us because you're not happy with the way the trim turned out. Okay. So that's example two. And then example number three is painting for a gal. Long story short, I mean, it was going to be the whole house. We ended up with the kitchen. The house is older, run down. The work we did made the house look amazing, this one room compared to the other rooms. Like, it's one of those where you're like, you're going to yell at me for this, and there's trash in the other rooms of your house, and there's cat pee poop, you know, like, one of those. Like, we made it look amazing, and then you're mad that nitpick, hey, there's, you know, this line goes out a 1/32nd of, you know, a width from the other line. So anyways, quit complaining, JT, huh? So the gal was upset because she didn't like the cut-ins, which we worked, fixed, kind of, we essentially got that taken care of, and then didn't like the way the wood trim was finished because she was saying, you didn't fix the nail holes. I said, and so I said, we were never going to fix them. We were filling in nail holes. And so the issue really is just there's hardware on there that we took off that left a ridge. And I said, we're not going to, you know, fix that because she said, don't worry about it. Just fill it. Right. So miscommunication there. And you're with that one, you're beginning to hear what the issue is. So if you're playing along at home, what is the three? With those three stories, what's a common factor with them? What do you think my issue was? And some of you may have figured out from the very beginning. Some of you business savvy people are like, boom, got it. Some of you are just great at relationships. You're like, yeah, duh, JT, come on, figure this out. Okay, that's not me, right? I'm a little slow. It takes a while. Here's the common factor I figured out. And it came to me. So I knew after this last one, actually the last two, I knew unmet expectations, right? And really unspoken expectations weren't met. So their expectations weren't met. That's the key. But here I was like, I mean, we explained it. I don't get it. Listen to a podcast because I actually was searched on Spotify what to do when a client doesn't pay you. And I got this house cleaning gal, and it was interesting. Someone is in a similar situation as me for house cleaning. And the pro goes, like, your problem is you didn't tell them what the end product was going to be. You didn't paint a picture for them of where you were going to go and what they could expect at the end. That's why they're now not willing to paint because or pay you because they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so simple, but that makes sense, right? Each of those clients didn't want to pay because they're going, this is what we expected and you did not deliver it, right? But I was saying, but we did deliver what I said. And again, some of this we can get into, just some people are just awful. There's contracts. I mean, I've got all that stuff. Contracts, here's what it is. That's besides the point because I can argue about the facts all day long, right? It's the feelings that some of these people have that you have to process through, but also going that I do need to do a better job of walking through and saying, here's where we're going. And that began to help me understand relationships. I mean, seriously, think about relationships and the issues and the conflict you have within them. It's unspoken, unmet expectations. And so here's what I learned about dating from customer service. This is what I learned. Number one is screen the people. It, more specifically, know what you're looking for and stick with it. I heard the guy who's kind of the big guru now is Alex Hormozi. And he was talking about essentially, and it's what all the, you know, salespeople, like you've heard it, the riches are in the niches. The riches are in the niches. Meaning, like, if you can niche down and get specific in your offerings and what you're doing, or even more specific, like who you're offering stuff to, it'll be better. And so, like, he gives the example, he did a survey and processed the people who's going, it's like, okay, they're right-leaning conservative males in, you know, what, you know, this town or something. So, okay, my marketing is towards them. And anybody outside of that, we say no to. I mean, he turns that, and it could be like, hey, we have a $1 million job. Like, nope, you don't fit our criteria. And you listen to them, like, that's crazy. And he's like, no, it's not, because we lose money because their customers don't fit what we want. We want these guys because we know who they are. We know what we can do. Because if you get outside of it, you get people like I dealt with this gal that's going to give you a terrible Google review. And so that was the one, like, okay, now we're going to need to figure out our clientele. Who do we want to focus on and who do we want to work with? And that's part of what I'm learning and kind of watching. Okay, these kind of people, I don't want to deal with. And we had a customer like that where I knew he was just going to be too much. And so I bid it high, knowing, like, one, if you give it to us, this is what I'm going to have to take because you're going to act this way and I'm going to have to deal with it. But I also know if it's high enough, you're just going to walk away. And he did. He said, we went with someone else. Said, perfect. That, you know, makes my life easier. But the same, right, for dating, knowing who you're looking for and who you want to be instead of just like, oh, yeah, let's just date any person with a pulse, right? And because, like, for me, I am having to kind of think through because I'm like, okay, well, if you're a woman who I find attractive, who loves Jesus and, you know, likes my kids, boom, done. That's easy. Like, that's the criteria. And now, yeah, someone's like, oh, that's me. Let me call you. Please don't. Right. But also realizing, okay, let's get a little more specific and not necessarily like this hair color, this thing, but understanding who do I want to be with? And someone else heard, you know, everybody's crazy. It's just the crazy that they have. Can you handle? Can you be with? Does that crazy work? And that's really what it is of going, the crazy that you're getting with, are you going to be able to work with them? And so that's, I mean, it's huge because I think about my life and where I'm at. And it's not like I wish I could go back and change it and never would have met my ex. Yeah, would life be a little easier? Possibly. But I wouldn't have had my kids that I've got, you know, missed out on that. But honestly, I heard Shia LaBeouf say this on a podcast about the gal who has accused him of assault. And he called her like his saint, because he's like, because of her, I finally got my like life cleaned up and figured out. And so, like, I'll say that is true for my ex. I don't know if I necessarily call her my saint. or a saint, far from it, but seeing it from that lens that because of her, I've had to learn a lot of stuff and process through. Now, I'm not saying everybody, hey, you should go get some crazy person, marry them, and let them ruin your life because you're going to learn so much from it. No. Absolutely not. I'm saying where I'm at now is where I wish I would have been when I was 21 getting married, which I know isn't possible. And that's one of the things I struggle with in the dating of like, how do you encourage people that are younger of like, take your time, not necessarily like wait till you're 25 or 30 to get married. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. It is a little bit. I think I should have waited a little longer. But just like I didn't know who I was when I got married. And I got married for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I got married because I wanted to have sex. I mean, that's why you get married, have sex. I got married because I needed someone to give me an identity, to give me fulfillment, to love me. Because I didn't love myself. And I felt unloved. Which then is so messed up because it's like, how do you love someone if you don't love yourself? And so I'm getting off track here to where the first one, right, is what are your preferences, right? So knowing what you're looking for in a potential spouse and using that of like, okay, I'm not going to date these people. And I mean, I guess it's a little easier now in the online dating world because you can get pretty specific of like, this is who I want, you know, Christian, conservative, non-vaccinated, you know, 32-year-old female, right? I mean, that's what you can do with them. But really, again, just knowing who you're getting into relationship with and the impact that they have with you, right? To where me as a business owner, who I'm getting in a business relationship, and the impact that they can have on my company, right? Because, I mean, now the fallout, this gal's giving me a bad Google review, which didn't hurt it too much, thankfully, because there's, you know, other reviews, so it's kind of like getting trolled, but that's a big thing. Then, right, so let's say you enter into the relationship, say, okay, I want to work with this person, or I want to get to know this person, see if they can be a spouse. The next thing is in that relationship, if you're dating, or again, in marriage, is expectations and just being clear. Because the thing that happened with the last customer I was had, she had unspoken expectations that were not shared with me, but I was kind of expected to know or do something about. But it was like, but why would I? Because you didn't say anything about it. It's like, well, you should just know, which is the stupidest thing. Because I mean, that happens in relationships all the time of like, well, you know, you should be paying attention to your spouse so well that you should know, and they just don't even have to say, which I think is stupid. Yes, there are going to be times that you are paying attention. I mean, it happens with my kids where I'm watching and listening. Okay, I'm picking something up for my kid. I get that. That's different than them coming and getting mad at you and saying, well, you didn't do this. How was I supposed to know I was supposed to do this? If you didn't say anything, well, you should just know. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I've said it numerous times, and I'm saying it's stupid because it happened in the previous relationship of like, why didn't you do this? This, I can't believe you're getting, you know, they just get mad and you're like, wait a minute, what? And so, you know, for in the business, at the beginning, I happened to get better at going, okay, here is what you're expecting from me. Here's what you can expect from me. Here's the services that I'm going to offer, and here's what I'm doing. Do you agree to those? Yeah, that sounds perfect. Okay, great. Is there anything I missed? Is there anything I didn't get? Oh, you want this to happen? Okay, we can do this. It's going to be this cost, or here's what's going to happen, right? That's what I need to do. And then that's the same in a relationship of going, you know, for me, in the dating world of going, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I want to get out of the relationship. Here's what I'd like, you know, to do or see happen, kind of thing. But then within, you know, a marriage context or, you know, relationship of going, okay, continuing to review, in a sense, the business contract. And that was one you know, I do know, I remember we had at the beginning of the marriage, my previous marriage, I had unspoken expectations because I was like, okay, well, you know, the only, you know, other wife, you know, I've seen is my mom, and this is what she did. So I was expecting, you know, her to do the same thing. I was like, well, that's, I don't want to do all those things. Like, well, why wouldn't you? Because this is what a woman does, right? There's just some arrogance, some things that I didn't process through, right? We didn't process and we didn't talk about, we didn't take the time to do that. And it just happens at each stage, right? Because then you get to kids and go, okay, who's changing diapers? Who's doing stuff? Who's, instead of just like, okay, we'll kind of go and figure it out. Like, that's where people get mad. Like, well, why didn't you take it? Or why am I doing all those fights, right? But if stopping going, okay, here's the kids. We got diapers, babies coming. What are we going to do? What's the expectations? Okay, moving forward. How are we parenting kids? Are we spanking? We're not spanking. Like having those conversations of going, who's doing what? Talking about roles, talking about, I mean everything. There should be that communication in your marriage, in your relationships, of everything, right? And it doesn't have to be every night you're talking about it, right? It's just that check-in. It's that, right? It's like that performance review that you have at work of going, how am I doing? And I've talked about that in the podcast before of asking your spouse, even, you know, how am I doing? How can I serve you better? What do you need from me? And then talking about everything, because like, I mean, money, what are our expectations of money? Who's going to take care of it? Who's going to spend all of it? How are we going to spend it? How are we going to use it? Sex, when are we going to have it? You know, what are we going to do? What's, you know, style? What do we like? What we don't like? I mean, you know, talk about those things. And then kids, raising the kids. I mean, there's expectations. And then the daily routine of who's doing dishes, what's happening, you know, setting some systems and things in place to make life better. But it's that communication. And so that, I know, definitely didn't happen as much as it should have in my previous marriage, and there's a variety of reasons of why that didn't happen. But that's, you know, one of the big things, communications is huge, and speaking about expectations and processing through them and making them know, right? To clarify. And that's what I've learned, you know, from dealing with customers going, okay, this is what you're saying. This is what we're doing. Is that what you want? It is not. Okay, tell me, you know, what would you like to do? And figuring it out. But also then getting to the point of going, getting to the point where I stand up for myself, right? Of going, no, we're not doing that. And that's what I've gotten the jobs going, nope, that ain't happening. Okay, if you want to, it's going to be this is what it's going to cost. And I think that honestly has been the biggest shift or change or whatever it might be is for me, because I have gotten relationships, you know, dated someone going, oh, I don't like this, or this is happening, going, hey, I don't like this, I'm out. And having people get mad at me and upset and going, okay, cool, or not. I don't go, okay, cool. I probably do. That's probably why I'm single and where I'm at. Right, but of understanding there is going to be conflicts, and sometimes when you express what you're wanting, there's going to be that conflict with it. But of standing up for yourself and what you want and who you are, I mean, is huge, because for me, I didn't do that in my previous marriage. I know I didn't. I just kind of like, okay, I am your servant. I am here for you to do whatever you want. That got me nowhere. That got me absolutely nowhere. And it gets me nowhere in the business either, to where I'm like, the customer's always right. The customer's not always right. The customer doesn't know what they want. The customer doesn't know how to get what they want. They don't know what they're doing. That's why they hired you. So for me as an expert saying, here's what we're doing, is that meet your needs? And helping them understand, guiding them through it. And then if they come and say, hey, this is what we want to do, go, that's not a great, you know, idea, or saying, that's extra. And they get mad going, okay, that's fine. This is it, and move on. And for me, it's helping me have confrontations, stick to the facts, and not get emotional, not get upset, of saying even keel and being able to navigate through the waters. So that's the biggest skill that I'm learning, is that I can begin to navigate, you know, the waters of conflict, right, that are just wavy and treacherous, of going, okay, we can take this, okay, and if I stay calm, it calms them down and settles them down, and the waves get less, and then it just kind of, okay, here we are. Now we're back. Let's talk. What do you need? That's the biggest thing, right, that I'm learning of just how to talk through conflict and kind of process it. So those are just my quick thoughts of how owning a business and customer service is like dating, right? Is know the client or clientele, you know, that you're looking for. What are you looking for in a client or a spouse and a partner? What are your preferences? What are your wants and your desires in them? Your expectations, making sure your expectations are spoken, not leaving unspoken expectations, clarifying your expectations, clarifying their expectations, speaking them back to them. And then in conflict of being calm, being a calming presence and sticking to the facts, not letting your feelings get out of control, which they will, it'll happen, but of going, okay, let's come back, let's calm. How do we find the common ground? How do we help each other out? But also knowing that sometimes at the end of the day, you're just going to have to take a stand and you're going to have to take it and go, okay, that's fine. That's what it is. And, you know, hit that conflict, but hopefully within your relationship, knowing, hey, this happened. Can we process through it? Yeah, let's move forward. And it works out great. Like, those are the really good relationships you want. You know, and I've had those. We've had, you know, some guys, customers will say stuff and we'll kind of process through and they'll get upset and go, okay, cool. Like, yeah, nope, I got it. I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Yep, how do we fix this? How do we move forward? Like, those are the best relationships. And side note, you know, for me, like, trying to figure out how in dating, how do you get someone in those situations to where you can get some conflict and get, you know, a little fight going on? You know, I could just pick one because I'm great at it. But then to have that conflict resolution, because that's when you know someone's willing to stay with you, right? Is when you process through those conflicts and they own their stuff and you own yours and you move forward and get better. That's huge. Right. And so that's, I guess, why I walk away from a lot of the jobs, because they're not willing to budge or do it. I'm like, okay, I don't have time for this. And it's the same as with the dating, to where like, hey, this is a big deal to me, or this is very important to me. You're not budging on it? Okay, that's fine. And that, I guess, is the last point or last thing, you know, thinking about it, is being secure enough in yourself to say no, to walk away. And that's more in the dating world, you know, to where, like, with customers in business, knowing that the money's going to come, jobs will come, and I'm going to be okay, I'm going to survive, and I can say no to this customer, because saying no to them is actually going to be better for me than saying yes to them and dealing with all their crap. It's the same with dating, where, like, hey, look, we could do this, this, and this. You're great, you have this, you meet this, but if I go this route, I just don't think it's going to go well. And then having the, you know, the strength to say it's over and I don't want to go this direction right now. I'm hoping you're not going to do that in your marriage of like, well, okay, we're not getting along, it's over. In marriage, no, you're going to fight it out till the death. But, you know, anymore, we just give up and like, well, I don't want to do this, so I'm going to get a divorce. Okay, well, that's not how this works, and you don't grow, right? The conflict within it allows you to grow and become closer. Because like I said, when you go through conflict with someone and you both process through, you're both growing and you get tighter. But so yeah, that's just what I've learned from dating and customer relations. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.